Howdy, friends. Welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope you guys are all having an absolutely terrific day today. Hope you're staying strong and healthy. Hope you guys have been continually getting all the news that we've been throwing at you guys. A lot of stuff.
Hey, we don't throw anything. So if you throw protein powder and collagen and purple sticks,
other than I've been known to throw through a few things
on
here.
Can't throw it.
I'll be on Hagman tonight. Back on here tonight.
Whoa.
Yeah. So me and Doug will be going at it. Yeah. I always like being on his show.
I feel like the adopted stepchild on Hagman now. I never get to go
on. You want to go back on?
No, I'm good. I'm good.
You don't like those late nights.
Well, I don't like it. Well, it's like, I love being on with Jeff Rentz, but, getting on, at 10 or 11 o'clock at night, and taking a purple stick, it kind of interrupts your sleep cycle.
Oh, it does that. That's what that was 2 weeks ago when I rolled out the website Tuesday and then I had Hagman Wednesday. It was like, it was the week of no sleep. But let's get some more collagen here. The collagen, actually, you guys voted for it. It'll be on Product of the Week later on today or tomorrow.
Collagen?
Man, yeah, everybody
product.
Voted on it.
Hey, if you want to get rid of your wrinkles, and I'm not making that claim, but I'm kind of saying it, and you have your hair and nails, your nails go nuts.
Well, that's a side effect to me. It gets annoying. They grow so fast. The biggest thing I like is it helps my joints out.
I feel like I got talons now.
What you do is keep a set of fingernail clippers if you're a guy.
No, I have.
I keep in my backpack. My backpack goes everywhere I go. I'm like, cut these again today.
Somebody told me they had ridges on their nails and the ridges went away.
Yeah, I have no ridges.
I have no ridges either. Oh, by the way, attention parents. This is a very interesting article. Are we done talking about nothing yet? Or are we going to?
No, I'm waiting on you. So now you got my attention. Attention, attention.
Attention parents. RFK Jr. links autism to certain interventions, says big announcement next month in September. But listen to this. He has a conversation with Trump. Here's the actual transcript. This is going to blow your mind. Listen to this one. Bobby, autism, if I could just, I don't want to go too long because we've had a lot of people, but the autism is such a tremendous horror show. What's happening in our country, some other countries, but mostly our country. How are you doing on that? So he has Kennedy working on autism.
Well, we brought this up a month ago that he was going to start digging into it to see what's causing it.
Listen to this. He says, we're going very well. We have announcements, as promised, on September, finding interventions, certain intervention, how, and now clearly most certainly causing autism. We're going to address those problems in September. Okay, so they're actually going to go to the cause now. Trump, it's such a big day. I'm looking forward to that date because there is something wrong when you see the kind of numbers that you have today versus 20 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
He goes, in 1970, the biggest epidemiological study in history was done in Washington, D.C. They looked at 900,000 children for autism, and they found that there's only 1 in 100,000 children had autism. Now it's 1 in 12.5 boys.
Ooh.
I'm going to repeat
12.5.
That. So basically, let's round it down to 10. We can do that. That's close enough. 1 in 10, 1 in 12.5 boys now have autism. This is a serious problem. It's 1 in 31 total children now because not as many girls get it.
Right.
The 1 in 12.5 boys.
Well, that would essentially mean that you're going to have statistically guaranteed you're going to have at least 3 boys in every classroom with autism. Would that be accurate then? 30-person
classroom? Well, they wouldn't be in the classroom. They would be in special needs classroom, but you'd have special needs classrooms growing like crazy because of it. So that means basically if you have if you have 1,000 students in a school, you're going to have 1,000. I'm sorry, you're going to have 125 boys with autism.
Oof.
It's a problem. And that's why I have been talking about this for decades. And I've been talking about it with glyphosate. I've been talking about it with vaccines. I've been talking about it with the aluminum in the vaccines, the adjuvants of the vaccines. But let's talk about it some more. This is very important.
I got some stuff that'll tie into that too.
Think of Trump says, think of those numbers. So there has to be something artificially causing this, meaning a drug or something. And I know you're looking very strongly at different things, but I hope you can come out with that as soon as possible. And it's a big deal. This announcement is likely to be one of the most significant health announcements for parents of newborns and generations of children. If not more, Big Pharma has spent decades capturing parts of the government. That's true.
Yeah, that's a fact.
Remember Pharmakia in the Book of Revelation with the drugs? They control everyone.
Yep.
That has resulted in the vaccine schedule for children continuing to grow. And it talks about autism rates. I'm going to put this whole problem, unless you read this whole article. For parents with newborns and young children, Children's Health Defense, notably Kennedy served as chair board for that from 2015 to 2023, offers 10 questions to ask your doctor or pediatrician. Here we go. Ready? How many vaccines will my child receive by the age of 18? It's like 72,
legitimate
by the way.
Question.
Are vaccines 100% effective and safe?
If they tell you yes, they're lying.
In medical school, do you study each vaccine and the possible side effects? No. Do you have any of these vaccine ingredients problematic for, you know, do you find any of these vaccine ingredients problematic for young children? Aluminum, developmental toxin, animal tissues like pig blood in the vaccines, horse blood, rabbit brain, dog kid. You know what makes me mad with this?
Horse blood?
No. So I'm going to stop for a second. I'm about to say an ugly word. I'm about to cuss, all right? But I'm not going to. But I want to cuss because this deserves cussing. This deserves a really bad word, but I'm not going to say it. I'm going to say, okay, who comes up with this crap, okay, that they're going to test pig blood, horse blood, rabbit brain, dog kidney, chicken embryos, chicken egg, and duck egg toxins in vaccines to inject in children? Who is the stupidest person on the planet that says, let's inject pig blood in this child?
Well, don't forget aborted fetal tissue from children that are aborted, too. Don't forget that one.
Oh, and let's not forget the unbelievable neurotoxin formaldehyde.
Yeah.
Which has been linked to leukemia.
Polysorbate 80.
Or human. Here we go. Human aborted fetal tissue.
Yeah.
Okay. Mercury, thimerosal, developmental toxin, brain toxin, and MSG. Let's not forget to throw some monosodium and glutamate into the vaccines and inject it in your child. And let's just see when we spin this wheel, what your child comes up with, what type of vaccine injury they're going to get, what kind of developmental delay are they going to have. Let's put all of this crap in a vaccine and say, oh, well, you don't know why we're having this adverse reaction and their brain is swelling and now they're getting autism. Makes me want to cuss. And I don't cuss. Well, every once in a while I say a bad word. I'm not putting some halo over my head. I try not to, okay? Let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth. But when I see this stuff, it makes me so angry that these pieces of feces do this in a research laboratory, and they say, can you imagine this? The child has autism now. We knew that would happen, but it's worth it because we're going to have herd immunity. Unbelievable idiots. Do you believe that the adverse reactions happen? Know what you look for. Can you report any adverse reactions to VAERS? Do you report them? When you see a child come down with autism in your clinic, do you report it to VAERS? Do you have an understanding of the illness for which you are giving an immunization? Do you understand how a child can't develop antibodies for the first 24 months of its life? Do you understand
there
that,
you
doctor?
Go.
Do you know the vaccine manufacturers are free from vital liability? Prior to injection, do you look into whether or not there's a family history of autoimmune issues? Do you testing before you do the vaccines? Are you knowledgeable about the clinical trials for vaccines you administer? Because there are none. And do you know if they've been tested against an inert placebo control? That's why there are none. They're tested against other vaccines. Do you know that? Does your practice receive financial incentive for having patients who've been
doctored?
And will you allow my child to remain in the practice if we decide not to follow all of these side effects and guidelines that you're suggesting that we give to our child? Wow. So it says, the countdown begins to JFK's big reveal in September of what the HHS believes could be the root cause of this autism spike in children. You know, the thing about it is, Austin, this is not some big secret here. But what they've been able to do, and here's how they set this crap up. These pieces of slime that's been censored. Here's how they set it up. They don't test these vaccines, you know, against a placebo or a real placebo. They don't do that. Therefore, they can say, we tested it against another vaccine, so it appeared safe. In other words, we tested it against this other vaccine that's loaded with mercury, had all of these side effects. Therefore, we're testing this vaccine, has all these side effects. Therefore, there is no statistical significant difference.
Nope.
Therefore, this vaccine has to be as safe as this other vaccine. Therefore, we are going to use it. Do you realize how stupid that is? And here's the other problem they've got. This is like, you know, you're doing a natural cancer treatment protocol for cancer, okay, versus using chemotherapy, radiation, or surgery. They consider it medically unethical to do studies like that because they're saying we're denying this cancer patient a true cure by testing him. We can't do that with humans because it's medically unethical. Well, 1 in 12.5 boys coming down with autism is pretty doggone medically unethical to me, Austin.
No, it is.
Unbelievable.
And then the problem you have on top of it, as if the vaccines weren't bad enough, then you have all these other toxins they're getting constantly exposed to.
Pig blood?
Well, not even that.
Unbelievable.
No, like in outside standings. Like, you know, the doctors and pediatricians always tell women that Tylenol is the safest painkiller during
not
pregnancy.
It's horrible.
Here's a new study just came out saying instead of amphetamine, use during pregnancy may increase autism and ADHD symptoms. They go on to say here that instead of amphetamine, commonly sold on Tylenol, has been considered the safest painkiller for pregnant women to manage fever, headaches, and pain. But in a study published earlier this month, researchers led by Andrea Bocelli of Harvard University found when children expose this during pregnancy, they are much more likely to develop neurological disorders, including autism. Published in press recently at the University of August 20th.
Tylenol shouldn't even be on the market, Austin. It's an unbelievable, horrible product.
I mean, Tylenol is an effective painkiller if you don't want an opiate, but it needs to be a prescription. It needs to be controlled. It needs to be used for a specific purpose at a specific dose.
It causes liver damage.
I know. Well, there's other drugs, too, that may have something. But the thing is, it should not be over the counter. It should not be for pregnant women, period.
They took Sudafed. You got to give a dog a driver's license. Sudafed's not anywhere near as bad as Tylenol.
Tylenol is the number one drug for liver failure in the hospitals globally. The number one product as far as it's used for liver toxicity and liver failure. Done all the time. We use N-acetylcysteine, or doctors will use N-acetylcysteine. That is one of the only compounds known that will actually help reverse amphetamine toxicity is N-acetylcysteine. And you remember, NAC, which we sell, one of the highest, rawest, cleanest NACs on the market. It works great. We talked about it during the COVID era. If you remember, they came in with the FDA and said, we want to ban N-acetylcysteine. Because there's a compound that they can use in a prescription. We want to turn it into a pharmaceutical drug.
I remember that. Mm-hmm.
FDA pushed hard. They got hundreds of thousands of signatures of all these lawsuits. They said, finally, after 2 years of this, them threatening to ban it and schedule it. And NAC.
But they give us Tylenol.
Right. And it's a sulfur derivative. It's completely natural, super clean, effective as all get out, as detoxifying the liver. They said, no. We need to control it, so because there's a pharmaceutical drug to be made off of it. But Tylenol, you can buy a whole bottle of Tylenol right off the shelf with no age restriction. You don't get carded to buy Tylenol.
You know what just irritates me? I'm pretty irritated this morning because I've been talking about this stuff for a long time. You know, these doctors and these people that do this research in these laboratories who are being funded through our government and through these medical programs, et cetera, by these pharmaceutical corporations. It's like they can never get enough free air.
It's not even the air anymore. They want to own the bodies.
I mean, so you got an NAC compound. We can make more money on this if we make it a prescription. But they'll give you the Tylenol to poison your liver, the acetaminophen.
Think about this.
Unbelievable.
You think about this for a second, because this has happened. This has been documented numerous times, and this is horrible when it happens. Instead of fentanyl, Tylenol has been used multiple times in suicide.
It has.
They've used it. I'm not trying to berate it.
Blow out your liver, man.
There's young adults that get depressed. Something's happened. They need some help. They need some support, and they don't get it. And they try to OD on Tylenol. They end up in the hospital with liver failure. And the problem is, in most cases, if you're young, it doesn't kill you. Your liver just goes to full failure shock, and they got to do all kinds of interventions to save you.
Liver transplant.
But you don't even have to be 21 to buy it. You just go to the store and buy it. It says analyzing the results of 46 studies on the painkiller that represents data from over 100,000 participants, the researchers looked at possible connections between pregnant women taking acetaminophen and neurodevelopmental disorders such as autism. Their analysis, according to the study's conclusion, identified studies that found statistically significant increased risk of neurological disorders such as ADHD, autism spectrum disorder, from prenatal acetaminophen exposure, as well as smaller studies that basically did not find as association.
Well, the doctors tell you to take it when you're pregnant. That's unbelievable.
I still remember when that unbelievably idiot director of the CDC got on television. I was standing in that store. It was 2021. And she goes, we've done the research. Every single pregnant woman needs to head to the doctor and get a COVID vaccine right now. We found it to be safe and effective.
Was that one who wore the scarf?
Walensky or whatever.
Oh, God.
No, that wasn't the scarf. That was Burke. Walensky's even worse. She was one of those dual Israeli citizens that basically worked for the CDC. You can pull all information up on her. And then quickly stepped down and resigned after COVID calmed down. After she literally told every single pregnant woman in the entire country, go get a COVID shot because it's safe and effective. The only way to stop basically these issues. Now you got a problem now. This is happening all across the country. Mississippi is now declaring a health emergency over increased infant mortality rate. A lot of the other average states, southern states, are 5.4 to 5.5 infant mortality rates per 100,000 children. Mississippi is now at 9.7. They can't figure out what's going on.
Well, sure. It's right after the vaccines.
Is it after the shots?
No.
Is it from the COVID injections,
too? I'm sure it's all of it.
Is it the drugs that the moms are taking via pregnancy? Yeah, is it a combination of all of them?
Now, let's talk about Mississippi for a second. Now, I'm not picking on Mississippi. I like Mississippi. Beautiful state. Here's the problem that you have, though. The demographics of Mississippi are not that it's got a very low college education rate.
But they also had a very high COVID-19 vaccination uptake, too, if you look
I'm tying this together right now, because what happens, what they found, is that the people who are the most educated in most cases refuse the vaccines,
right,
including people who have children who basically refuse the vaccines and get a religious immunization waiver.
Right.
Because they say, no, we're not going to do that. We've done the research. But when you have a demographic of individuals that don't go to college and don't really read and don't really have a lot of education, they believe what the government tells
right,
them.
Right.
And I'm not picking on Mississippi.
No, it's any part of the country.
Louisiana's pretty bad with that, too. But you look at the average ability to read, and you start seeing a lot of people out there, they don't read, and they don't basically look at news.
Well, CNN told them to get shot.
Yeah, that's right. CNN told them to get shot. Now, remember, there are a lot of people in Mississippi and Louisiana who are highly educated, PhDs, and they're brilliant people. And they probably did not take the shot. But I'm just telling you from a demographic standpoint. I remember Dr. Charlie Atwood years ago, I took a continuing education class with him, and he was talking about, he was from Louisiana, and he told me, he says, Ted, he says, you cannot believe the fact that teenage children in our state have advanced atherosclerotic plaquing. And I said, what? He goes, every single one I tested, 18, 19 years old, was plaque already. Now, we're talking like,
how do you plaque your arteries that early?
Oh, you're eating pork, bud.
Yeah, that's true. Lard,
you're
everything.
Living on pork and
high fructose corn syrup.
And he said, it's an unbelievable problem in our state. And it's because of lack of education. He said the kids don't eat right because the parents don't eat right because the grandparents don't eat right. Let me come back for a second. I gotta break this out a little bit. I gotta give you a joke. This is getting too negative. The granddaughter says, we're making a roast this week, you know, for Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Okay. And she says, but we've got to make sure we get a good roast. So she gets the roast and she basically cuts the end of the roast off and puts it in the roasting pan. And she goes, then so the guy's looking at the roasting pan and says, why are you cutting the end of the roast off? It's good beef.
Yeah.
And she goes, well, because my mother cut the end of the roast off. And so they call mom up and they said, hey, mom, why do you cut the end of the roast off, you know, whenever you make roast in this pan? And she goes, well, I don't know. Well, grandma cut the end of the roast off. I was taught to do it that way. So finally, grandma's still alive. You know, she's still running around doing her thing. So they've called grandma up and say, hey, grandma, can we ask you questions? Yeah, we're kind of curious. That's been going on for 50 years. Why do we cut the end of the roast off and we basically put
when
it
it's good
in
meat.
The pan? Yeah. She goes, well, my roasting pan was too small. That's how it goes from generation to generation to generation with the bad teaching. Well, I love pork. I'm going to eat it no matter what. Well, you have fun with those brain worms. Have fun with that. I mean, I just got an article a couple days ago about having a person had worms in their brain from Turkana. You have fun with all that. And I'm not picking that, not trying to speak that over you, but why do you want to eat dead cooked parasites anyhow? I mean, what is the point of that?
Well, and tying in what you just said a few minutes ago, then you have, well, why are you giving your children all these injections at 6 months old? Well, my parents gave me those shots. You call grandparents, well, you know, we got two or three shots. We figured it was just fine for you to get them. And so you have generation. Why do we keep getting shots? Why do we get these 4, 5, 6, 7 shots at 6 months old? Well, yeah, that's what my parents told me to do.
The biggest revelation to me was the fact that Simeon 40 was given to us with the polio vaccine.
Oh, yeah. Well documented.
No, well, you know, 60 million people got it, right? And now we have a huge increase in risks of brain, bone, and breast cancer in my age demographics.
Okay? Oh, yeah.
Which is insane. I have a good friend of mine who just overcame bone cancer. He was in that age, and he took the polio vaccine. And what's funny about all of this is that same Simeon 40 was using the COVID vaccine to reduce the ability of the immune system to fight the production of the spike proteins. You know, it's like they had to go 60 years, and then they had to do another generation.
Well, it was so effective.
Well, yeah.
It was the playbook worked.
Yeah.
I always tell everybody that.
SV40 is kidney cells from monkeys that's infected with cancer.
Yeah.
Just thought I'd mention that one,
too. But it's what they do. If you go back and read history, you look at it, they have the same book. They just call the plays differently as far as the names of them. They use the same plays
over
times,
and over.
Over. I mean, because it's the same concept. If you got a really good NFL team, really good college, I like college football better, and you're running plays that work really good, you got them in the playbook. Dude, we've run this play 57 times, and 56 times it works great. Big asterisk. This is a good one. They know how to play the game. They just change the name of the play and tell everybody it's something new. I mean, think about this. We had 756 million dollars that was granted to Moderna for the bird flu vaccine because they told everyone we had to wipe out 16 million birds over the last year because the chicken flu, the bird flu, everybody was going to die. We had to get the shot rolling. Moderna gets over 766 million dollars worth of contracts. Well, finally, as soon as RFK Jr. gets in there, he goes, now, we're calling back the almost $1 billion that was sent on it. Well, then what happens the next month? Oh, yeah. Literally, it was like 38 days later, the day of my birthday, July 7th, CDC ends bird flu emergency. Just ends it. We just arbitrarily end it. It's done now. The spokesperson department of the CDC and the HHS said the emergency bird flu response is deactivated, transitioned back to regular program activity. Okay. Wait a minute. No. We needed $1 billion to come up with a new vaccine in the bird flu. No,
it had nothing to do with
bird flu. I know. What I'm getting at, though, it's the same play they did every time.
But no, it's the same play they do with everything.
Yeah.
Diesel fuel's almost $4 a gallon.
Again.
Yeah. Okay? I filled my Silverado up. It was $128 the other day. Okay? And I'm thinking to myself, this is ludicrous. Okay? Diesel's a byproduct of gasoline.
I know.
They had these to dispose of.
It's less refined.
Okay?
That's what it
works. And there's nothing to making it. You can almost burn, you know, crude oil.
There's more oil in it.
You know, in
that's
a diesel.
Why if you put regular gasoline in a diesel engine, it will seize up almost instantaneously.
Well, yeah, because it doesn't have
enough oil in it.
But the problem is that they know that diesel is a byproduct because the petrochemical industry manufactures everything. They make the plastics. They make everything from oil. And so what ends up happening is they have all of this extra diesel. So what they learned is they found out what the market would bear.
Yep.
They found out $5 a gallon was too much.
Right.
$5.50 a gallon was too much. People started cutting back on diesel consumption. Started coming. Not
transportation slowed down.
Yeah. And the cost of product being shipped went up too much. So they backed it out. And so the guys who breathe Sabbatean, Kabbalist, Luciferian, Synagogue of Satan. You look up every one of those words, and you'll figure out who runs the planet, who controls the money supply. This bird flu thing was about giving a whole bunch of grants to a bunch of manufacturers.
That's exactly right.
Okay? And turning around and jacking the price of eggs up to $12 a gallon.
Exactly
instead
right.
of $2 a gallon. $2 a dozen. And so the problem with all of this stuff is they found what the market would bear on eggs.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. They wanted to find the ceiling, the cap.
I mean, I was so excited the other day. Oh, this is crazy, but I was excited. I mean, I guess little things please me, I guess. I went to Sam's Wholesale Club, and they had organic eggs.
Really?
I bought 20 dozen. Just in case they run out. You know, I put it in my refrigerator. And because, I mean, your kids eat a lot of eggs.
I eat a lot of eggs because they eat a lot of eggs. They eat a lot of eggs.
And it's one of the highest. You know, so I thought to myself, oh, my gosh. But they found the cap on a wholesale level, about $4 a dozen is about what they cost at Sam's, is what people are willing to pay for organic eggs.
Yeah.
Because it should have been about $1.50 for regular eggs. They're about twice the price of regular eggs. So they found the cap. So that's why they culled 16 million birds.
Well, you remember, I remember specifically, so do you. You know, went to Publix, which is a great company, but they've gotten a little greedy lately. And you'd go to the egg section, and all the eggs were gone, except for the ones that were like $10 and $12 a dozen. They pretty much always had those in stock, because everybody stopped buying them, because the price got too high. They gouged everybody so hard on them, everybody said, I'm not paying that. You know, $6, $7 about is the most I ever paid for them at all. I wouldn't even do organic anymore. I would just do... Wild, free range.
Now, what I want you guys to do, and they told me this at Sam's the other day, go to Sam's and tell them that you want them to start carrying organic Annie's biscuits.
Organic Annie's biscuits?
No, they sell them at Costco.
Yeah, I don't eat a lot of biscuits, obviously. I can't stay lean eating biscuits all day.
Yeah, but I tell you what, they're great. But Annie's organic biscuits and Annie's organic cinnamon roll biscuits.
Oh, that's...
Okay? Sam's needs to carry those, because when I see them at Costco, they're like three things of them for like $5. You go to Publix, it's like one thing is like eight something.
Yeah.
They're like a third of the price. I mean, it's ridiculous.
I'm not recommending you guys go to, you know, as far as you eat cinnamon rolls and all that on a regular basis. I'm not recommending that.
Oh, I don't eat them on a regular basis, but it's nice when you go to, because Sam's needs to clean it up a little bit. Okay,
yeah.
they need to bring it up a little bit, do more organic products. Because I don't
know. No, they do. Costco's got that market in line.
Costco's a little bit too woke for me.
Is it?
I don't care for Costco too much, but I don't want to be forced to go to Costco. But it's too far to drive. But the reality is, if you basically do what you're supposed to do and eat the right kind of foods, you can every once in a while have some biscuits. but make sure they don't have flour that's loaded with glyphosate.
That's right.
Now, I've got to read this to you. It says, years ago, I came up with a list of the top 10 foods never to eat.
Right.
I mean, decades ago. Okay. And now all of a sudden, somebody comes up with a list and it says the foods to stay away from after the age of 60. Well, this is completely incorrect. It's after the age of zero. They don't eat these foods. Okay. But what's funny about
after
it.
After the age of zero?
Oh, no, listen to this. Once you're born, you don't need to be eating any of this stuff. And the point is, they're saying after the age of 60 because they're trying to hit a certain demographics to read this article.
Okay.
But it covers every one of my top 10 foods never to eat.
Oh, does it really?
It does. And I thought to myself, you got to be kidding me. Finally, the world catches on. Here's what it says. Number one, vegetable oils. We know that, how bad they are.
Yeah.
That's why, you know, you don't use vegetable oil. Deli meats, high-fat luncheon meats, bacon, sausage, ham, pepperoni, hot dogs, and no sodium nitrites. It's warning about that.
Only deli meat I will eat is boar's head if I check the ingredient list on it. That's the only luncheon meat I've ever found that doesn't use sodium nitrite in everything. Some of them still do. You got to read the labels on them. But boar's head's it.
And it says no soda. Whoa, how about that? Well, you know, you have phosphoric acid in soda. You want to basically dissolve calcium and give yourself osteoporotic fractures. Have some soda every day.
It's so acidic. It massively messes up the stomach composition, digestive problems in the gut. Remember, Coca-Cola's, I think, a 2.6 in pH.
It's low,
from a battery acid.
Oh, my gosh. By the way, energy bars. Now, these aren't the organic energy bars. It's ones with all the organic artificial things.
Oh, yeah, sucralose and everything in them.
You remember that time we went to that bodybuilding expedition thing? And it was that they had a clinic set up, and they had all of these. They had hundreds of booths set up.
Yep.
And Austin and I said, we're going to go find us a good energy bar that's clean, that does not contain sucralose.
Yeah, good luck.
They didn't exist. Every single bar contains sucralose. So you got to avoid all that. So don't eat bars like that. Don't eat cereal. Cereal is swine fattening feed, and it's loaded with glyphosate. If you look at the composition of cereal and you go buy a bag of swine fattening feed, they're about the same.
Look at cereal. If you have to have it at some point, look at it as like a cheat meal dessert. If you want to get some organic cereal with raw cow's milk and you want to eat, because it does taste really good, look at that as like a dessert on a weekend treat. Do not look at that food as a daily nutrition context or for breakfast ever.
I have a friend of mine who used to work out with me.
Yeah.
Yeah, he worked out here for years. And I remember he had a daughter.
Yeah.
Not mentioning any names here. And she was at least 100 pounds overweight. Now she's 150 pounds overweight. And she wanted to start working out. She wanted to lose weight because she was going to a wedding. And she did really well on it. Her primary food every single morning was a big bowl of cereal.
Yeah, spikes blood sugar, too.
You know,
massive insulin spike.
I told her, I said, you got to change this. And yeah. I said, you got to discipline yourself not to eat like this. Get that mess out of your house. Then it starts talking about high-fat dairy products and far as processed cheeses.
Yeah.
You know, that was one of my ones on my top 10 list.
If you're going to use dairy, try to get it raw and organic as you can.
And one thing I love about this with this list, it actually lists pork. It doesn't say high-fat luncheon meat, all that. It's already said that. Now it says pork.
Why does it sound like they just copy and pasted your
they did.
Top 10 foods ever to eat?
I remember John Parver, my college roommate and attorney, goes, you know, man, you were doing this stuff back in the 90s.
Yeah.
You know, now all of a sudden everybody's copying you. And I said, well, yeah. Well, of course, that's because the information.
Yeah.
Remember, I spoke to a million people at live seminars. That information has disseminated now.
Well, you can speak to 10 million people on a podcast in 1 hour.
That's how we do this.
Yeah.
And I'd like to have 10 million in 1 hour. Let's get a number. We got to get on Joe Rogan's show. You guys find a way to get me on Joe Rogan. Get Austin on Joe
Rogan.
That'd
be a goal. He's pretty wild, man. He has become much more as far as knowledgeable on stuff over the last couple
of
years.
You know what I would talk to him? I talked to him about time space.
Oh, gosh.
I would. And I talked to him about food and health because he's all into that health stuff.
Yeah, he is into health.
And you know what?
I would like to talk with Antarctica with him.
Oh, yeah. I would like to do that, too. By the way, I watched a video on Antarctica the other day. I posted it about the last surviving member of the bird team that went down there.
Really?
Listen to this. He said, he goes,
Operation High Jump was wild.
No, he was in there. He was in Operation
High Jump.
Okay. And he said there was a large crack, a fissure in the ice, and all this hot gas was coming out of it, and there was a stairwell going down into the fissure.
Really?
Man-made. They didn't make it. And he said one
like
guy
a rock stairwell like made out of stone
concrete and he said that one of the guys went down inside of the fissure, not the stairwell, and somehow his tether got unhooked, never to be seen again. Then another guy went down into the fissure and they pulled him back up, and he was in a complete catabolic state. His eyes were open, he couldn't talk, and he never spoke again.
That's why we don't want to go down there.
No, I'm telling you, it's fallen angel stuff. And he said that there were all these structures everywhere. They were told to destroy the structures.
And then
pictures and all the stuff that he saw that were taken, all destroyed, never seen again.
Really?
No, you got to watch this video.
Well, I've always made the question, that, especially when people arguing about Antarctica. I said, you know, the Nazis had significant operations as far as what they were doing. Why in the world did they choose to do the operating base out of Antarctica? It's nowhere near Germany or anywhere near Europe. It's a gigantic trip to try to get down there.
Well, they used their subs. But
right.
What was interesting about it, I had another guy that I interviewed when I did Joyce Riley's show. And I'll never forget this. The guy was basically a Kabbalist.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of, that's why he's never been on the show. And I asked him, I said, "Did you ever?" He was got a high-ranking military clearance. He said they took him to Antarctica, and he went inside some dome that was like a mile high, like 5,000 feet high. He said the dome was so high that it had its own weather.
Yeah.
And he said it was huge. And he said it had this type of plankton or some type of lichen or some type of, you know, whatever on the ceiling that put out light.
Light.
I mean, so there's some weird stuff going. He said there was all kinds of Nazi artifacts down there.
Oh, yeah.
And so,
I would doubt that.
But then that's the area that he went into. There's no telling what else they had that they didn't allow him to see. It's a mess. By the way, so they're telling you never to eat pork, okay? And it goes on to say, and it says don't eat raw eggs. Now, I don't recommend you eating raw eggs either because of salmonella. But you need to eat a lot of eggs. And it says don't eat white chocolate. White chocolate's not even chocolate.
It's milk with sugar in it.
It's horrible for
like
you.
A chocolate liqueur.
Yeah, and it says stay away from the frozen processed meals.
I'm not going to lie, though. The only thing I do like sometimes is some of those organic white chocolate macadamia nut cookies. Those are retarded. Like, they're just, you have to only buy like one of them here at the store. You buy a whole batch of them, you'll gorge yourself on them. And like, why did I do this to myself?
I've never been tempted by those.
I love the macadamia nut with the chocolate, with the white chocolate. It's not real chocolate.
Those Mauna Loa chocolate covered macadamia nuts.
Yeah.
I got to stay away from that. Yeah. All right. By the way, then it says vegetable shortening.
There you go.
Well, again, that was number three of my top 10.
Hydrogenated oil.
Margarine. And it says, have you wondered how stores make prepackaged pastries that last longer on the shelves? The secret is vegetable shortening. Yep. Manufacturers bake their pastries with vegetable shortening to extend their shelf life for as long as possible. However, this does, in turn, make consuming these sweet treats like cakes and other foods a lot worse for you than a fresh option. Vegetable shortening contains hydrogenated oils and trans fats, which increase bad cholesterol and lower good cholesterol. And it's like Crisco. If a woman's cooking something in Crisco, it splatters on a blouse. They can't get stuff out. It just stains it permanently. You can't get it out. If you can't get it out of your clothes, how do you get out of your arteries?
Nothing will eat it except human beings.
Sure.
Unless you have an animal that unknowingly eats it, like, you know, a giraffe or an elephant.
Or a grizzly bear starving.
Yeah. I mean, but you actually have a lot of that. You put it out, like, insects won't even eat Crisco or any of that stuff. They'll eat butter.
And talk about high sodium snacks to stay away from. And they're right about that, especially the fried potato chips.
Oh, yeah.
And then it says stay away from energy drinks. The only one I recommend is that.
Purple Sticks. The other ones are too trashy.
No, you read our ingredients on this. Yeah. The energy drinks are really, really bad as far as almost all of them. And it says pastries on a daily basis, which, of course, is just junk food. And then you mentioned this the other day about the ramen noodles. It says don't eat these things.
They were really popular when I was in college. All my roommates used to eat them because they're cheap. Yeah. They're carbs. They fill you up, kind of. But, you could go buy these big packs. I had one of the roommates, they'd go and he had a Sam's card. He was on, like, his parents. He'd go by and buy these, like, 60-pack case of ramen noodles. And we'd all throw them, like, a dollar or something. We're hungry in the dorm, want to eat them. And I never felt right after I ate them. Come to find out, if you actually look at them, they are loaded with MSG to make them palatable. Well, loaded.
Well, you know, canned soups. They're like,
they're all the same.
That's all same thing. Loaded with MSG. You got to make sure that says no MSG on the label if you're going to do it. And it says prepackaged bait goes again because of trans fat. Then it lists margarine again. Like, they don't know the difference between margarine and, you know, Crisco shortening here. Because it's the same thing. And then it says, my favorite, diet soda.
There you go.
And it says, you have brain tumors.
Aspartame, sucralose.
Brain tumors, brain cancer, seizures, headaches, optic nerve degradation. And then the sucralose, kidney failure.
Yeah.
I mean, unbelievable. So it's listing all of this stuff that I talked about so many times, you know, on my top 10 list. And then it warns you about eating instant oatmeal, primarily because of all the additives and chemicals that are in the instant oatmeal. And then it goes into detail about popcorn. It says that basically when you're getting microwave popcorn, you don't need to be eating that. You're going to eat popcorn, eat the regular popcorn,
yep.
Then they have all the chemicals added to it. And then it warns you about artificial sweeteners straight up. It says no Equal, no sucralose, none of that stuff. And it just goes on and on and on. And every single time I look at this, there's another one on my top 10 list. It talks about white bread. And I've posted this, you know, flavored yogurts, shellfish. Again, I warned everybody, toxic shellfish paralytic poisoning. Said shellfish is a little more than more rogue, and it's not really the type of food most of us consume every day. It's quite pricey. You know, shellfish includes the types of shrimp, crab, lobsters, oyster, prawns, scallops. Mussels. Exactly what I said, Austin. And so I started looking at all this stuff, and I thought to myself, this is funny to me.
Well,
that they're noticing all of the meats that I warned and all
the chemicals. Because, like you said, information is starting to spread. And more. And here's, I think, the reason why it's starting to happen, too, is people are actually starting to question why they're getting sick. For the longest time, you kind of look at the older generation, it was like they didn't ever ask, why am I sick? They just go to the doctor and say, how can you fix me? What pill can you give me to do whatever I need to do? Nobody actually looked at the root cause of what is causing all these issues. And I want to cover this article here because it was interesting. The suit's been interesting. It's crazy it got defeated by federal court yesterday. But there was an article about a Pennsylvania teen that filed a lawsuit against the ultra-processed food companies with Morgan & Morgan. Now, I don't like frivolous lawsuits. I think people that file frivolous lawsuits are complete pieces of crap because it happens all the time down here in Florida. We have one of the worst, biggest insurance vehicle scammers in the entire world with insurance policies down here and people filing frivolous claims.
Especially with broken windshields.
Stupid stuff. So I'm not a pro. Let's sue everybody. However, this individual, Bryce Martinez, I covered this in December, Morgan & Morgan picked this up. Biggest law firm in the country. They do some good stuff. They do some bad stuff. I'm just going to leave it at that. But they alleged they filed suit against Kraft Heinz, Coca-Cola, Nestle, Mars, PepsiCo for strategically designing research around brain's positive responses to chemicals to make the products more addictive. It accused the companies used the same technology as tobacco companies. I did a whole story on this last year.
They're right,
detail.
By the way.
They are. They're 100%. These are all facts. They use specific high amounts of processed sugar, like high fructose corn syrup. They use specific amount of carbohydrates with specific amount of fats with MSG, and they actually produce a ratio that they've shown in studies has the largest, most addictive factor to it. They've dialed the ratio in. Well, this lawsuit was filed, and they said that essentially it's increased a global health problem. It's got far-reaching implications for affecting subjects, their childhood and adolescence, because this individual, basically Martinez, he developed type 2 diabetes and non-alcoholic fatty liver disease by 16.
Just like Charlie Atwood told me about the kids out in Louisiana.
Yeah. Now listen to this. Kraft and Coca-Cola have now defeated the lawsuit over the ultra-processed food.
They defeated
Morgan & Morgan on it. The federal judge dismissed the lawsuit against major food and beverage manufacturers, ruling the teenager who sued the company did not meet the standards for the suit to proceed. And here's how they rolled off of this. They didn't deny they produce ratios to make them super addictive. They didn't deny some of these ingredients can make people sick. They just kind of, I don't recall around it. What they said was, it's not our responsibility to control what a 16-year-old eats and he doesn't eat if he can't control his food intake. Now, I don't agree with Coca-Cola and everything they do, but at the same time, it's kind of the concept of, okay, well, if I want to get in the vehicle and run my vehicle into a tree, it's not Honda Civic's fault or Ford Automotive's fault that I did that. It's your decision to do something stupid like that. And that's how they spun the card, and that's how the judge ruled against it. But they came in and said, basically, it is what it is. Oreo cookies, Ritz crackers, Coca-Cola, it's your choice to consume those. However, they're now refiling something with the suit because they're now saying because of the addictive properties of these foods, they need to have a requirement that's listed on the label, like tobacco, that says this product is known to be addictive. This product can cause high non-alcoholic fatty liver disease. And now that part I do agree with, because at the end of the day, everybody has their own choice to put the things in their own body. Free will. Got to deal with it. However, they need to be educated that these compounds are being directly used in ratios to make them more addictive, and they cause significant health issues down the road. So I think this is probably going to set the precedent to forcing these food manufacturers to have it listed. But at the end of the day, you can't sue the company for doing something that you knowingly did yourself. And they're not wrong on that one.
Well, you know, it's a catch-22, isn't it?
Well, it'd be like suing Jack Daniels because you're an alcoholic.
Or suing a gun manufacturer because somebody stole your gun and shot
exactly
somebody
right.
with it.
There's that precedent with law that it's not their responsibility for free will.
And it kind of goes right back to you can't legislate morality.
Correct.
People are going to do what they want to do because of freedom of will.
Yep.
And if they want to eat junk and become obese, it's entirely up to them.
Yep. Wait a minute, it's like the lawsuit that went against Colt. Oh, somebody used this in a mass shooting. They used your AR in a mass shooting. Well, that's not our responsibility. We manufacture firearms as firearms legally sold to a legal individual. It's not our fault this kid stole from his parent, committed a mass shooting. Allegedly.
I remember one day, it was funny. I've told the story before. I'll tell it again. So we had somebody here for some kind of repairs. I forgot what it was. And I had my pistol, it was either a Glock or a Kimber laying on the countertop.
Yeah.
And some guy who was basically a pencil neck came walking in, and he was from up north. And he had never been around a gun.
Probably never seen a firearm in person.
And he goes, there's a gun here. I said, yeah. He goes, I'm really nervous. I'm like, it's not going to jump up and shoot you.
I've never seen one happen like that. It's got sprouts little legs, well,
no,
starts running around.
No, he was terrified.
Yeah.
He was terrified that he was in the presence of a weapon. He really didn't know what to do with it. And so he gives me this ridiculous, 30-second, bid and runs out the front door. I thought he was going to start screaming and crying on his way out. And nobody touched the weapon. I didn't touch the weapon. Nobody did. The weapon was sitting on the counter by itself. And see, I guess people have the choice of seeing how they see things.
Yeah.
And he had been told his whole life how bad and how dangerous weapons were.
Yeah.
And the same thing is true. We can tell our children how bad junk food is.
Right.
But it's their choice whether they want to eat the junk food or not.
That's exactly right.
And I saw that with my kids when they all turned 16. Oh, we're out of here now. We got to go buy what we want. And I remember a couple of the girls gained some weight.
Yeah.
And I told them, I said, if you want to keep eating. In fact, I asked one of the girls one time, and Austin got mad at me. I said to him, I said, what's your goal? Goal weight. You want to get 200? 250? Austin remembers this.
Yes.
Question, though. No, she gained 50 pounds. And I all of a sudden I said, what's your goal weight? I said, you started off at 120, you're 170. Now are you going to go to 200, 250, 300, 350, 400? Where do you want to go? If you're going to set the goal, you might as well work for it. See what you can do with it. And boy, they got mad.
Yeah.
And I'm not, but I tell you what, though. They lost that weight. You say, well, that was you shouldn't have done that. Okay, then you tell me how you deal with it when it's your responsibility as a parent, when a child's not 18 yet, how do you help them as far as regulating their weight or staying healthy? Do you just ignore it until they become 300 pounds or 400 pounds? Or do you say, well, you're 500 pounds, and I guess I need to say something to you about it. Where do you draw the line with this? I have another friend of mine. His daughter basically gained like 200 pounds. She was at like 350 pounds, and she finally went on this shed to get her stomach stapled or whatever the heck they did, or resected her stomach or her intestines, and now she's lost all the weight, and she got unbelievably sick. And then she had to go in and have surgery done. They had to do a 360 around her, and they had to pull all of this. They literally pulled out 25 pounds of loose skin from being stretched out. And you think to yourself, this is crazy. So how big do you let them get? I mean, you let them eat junk food as they get bigger and bigger and bigger? Whose responsibility is it when the kid's 12 years old?
Well, I had a conversation with that with a buddy I knew. His son was getting bigger and bigger. And I asked him, I said, how much are you going to let him keep eating? Well, he's growing. I said, dude, your boy's growing sideways. I'm not being rude, but I mean, when you're 40, 50 pounds over the normal weight and you're not much taller than everybody else, they're starting to look at him when they're only 7 years old. You say, how big do you want him to go? I'm not trying to step on toes here, but when you have a kid, sometimes you got to look at it with filters off and go, you know what? There's an issue here. And the same thing would be if the kid's not growing and they're really skinny and they're not eating. It can go both ways. But as a parent, that's your job to step in and say, okay, this isn't working. What do I need to do to fix it? It's kind of like the three things you always say.
What are you doing?
What am I doing? What's it doing to me? And is that okay? And I told one of my real good buddies that the other day. He was dealing with a breakup with a girl he'd been with for a long time. And I told him, I said, here's what you have to ask yourself. What are you doing? You're dealing this with her. What's it doing to you? Is that okay? And he said, man, does that really kind of hit a nerve? But you're right. It's really simplistic, and it almost darn well almost always give you the answer.
That's from Jerome, by the way.
Mm-hmm. I know. And that's the thing that a lot of times is people don't want to ask the hard questions that really hit a nerve because of normalcy bias and your protection of your own brain where you want to go, I don't want to deal with the pain. I don't want to deal with this. You got to ask yourself, dude, maybe I don't need to be in this relationship. Maybe I do need to step away from it now and say, you know what? This is not the best for me or my children or my family. And it goes like that with anything, with food. You got a relationship, with high fructose corn syrup and Coca-Cola, and it's an addictive relationship in your family. By 24, 30, I am shocked sometimes when I'm at the store and I see in people's grocery carts. It's disturbing. I mean, you see it's like 48 soda in here and 4 packs of white bread and all this stuff. And you're sitting there going, I can already tell you without even seeing the family what their current health conditions are going to be.
And what they look like.
Tell you, right at the gate, I can look at the cart and tell you immediately. Probably, honestly, I could probably bet what their weight is too. Mm-hmm. Most cases. And I mean, what's crazy about this is, this complaint, going back to this lawsuit, it was a 668-paragraph complaint can, but the problem is, they said, is that it didn't give enough definitive information about how much the kid ate, when he ate it, why he was eating, and all these things, instead of just saying the food's addictive. So this is going to be used, though, as a good pretext, I think, to really push these ultra-processed food companies to actually start listing.
It's going to be refiled. That lawsuit will be refiled.
Oh, yeah. But Morgan & Morgan doesn't take on these massive lawsuits on contingency because they're planning on losing.
Well, you know, and the other thing, too, like you said something. If a child decides they don't want to eat,
yeah,
okay, and they start stunting their own growth, you know, where do you draw the line? I had a friend of mine. I'll never forget this. He had a kid who was like 13 years old. The kid's like 4 feet six. And my friend was like 6 feet tall. And this kid wasn't growing because he wasn't eating. And finally, my friend told him, he said, you know, this is my responsibility as your father. You know, I don't know what to do. You're 4 feet six. We've got to make you grow. So what we're going to do is have you start doing squats every day, four sets of 25 to push the pituitary gland to release human growth hormone. And we're going to give you some supplements that are going to help do that. And you're going to drink, you know, 2 quarts of milk every night. And I'm going to sit here and watch you do it.
Here's the thing you can do with kids if you are in that factor, if the kids aren't gaining enough weight and they're super active. There's four ingredients you could throw together. You throw in chocolate Fit Food, wherever that went. You had one earlier.
I think it's on the counter over
chocolate
there.
Chocolate Fit Food.
Oh, empty one. There you go.
Organic raw cow's milk.
Certified.
Certified. Organic bananas and organic peanut butter and blended up in a blender with ice. And you will make a chocolate protein shake that pretty much surpasses just about anything by the store. And I've rarely ever seen a child not want to consume that and put that down. Also, it'll pack on a significant amount of healthy weight if they're really active, they're exercising, or trying to put weight on. So there's things you can do to gain weight. There's things you can do to lose weight. They all require discipline on what you put in your body.
Well, and the other thing, too, my friend's kid grew 11 inches in 1 year when he started getting the calories he needed to. Now, let me ask you a question now, parent. Listen to me. If it's your responsibility to help maintain a child's weight to make it healthy, or to help a child gain weight, or to lose weight, you know, if you don't do it, who's supposed to do it? Most parents, because they're so busy working one or two, sometimes three jobs, they don't want to bother with it. And they're like, well, they can do whatever they want to
Isn't
do.
Isn't that the goal of the bankers, though?
Well, that
keep
one,
everybody
the,
so
the, one,
wrapped
the
up?
One girl who had the 250 pounds of weight extra that she added, she ended up, her mom had a vending machine business.
Oh, yeah.
And this girl had a key to the cabin and lived on junk food all day long.
I remember it.
And the girl who wanted to lose the weight for that wedding, same thing. They were in a situation where the mother allowed her to eat whatever she wanted to eat, And finally, you know, I told the mother, I said, this is your responsibility. This girl's gained 200 pounds. This has nothing to do with her. You gave it to her. She's a child. Now, let's do a segue. How BlackRock prices Americans out of homes.
There you go.
Okay? We're going to see whose responsibility is this. This is going to blow your mind. I didn't realize they were doing this.
Okay.
Listen to this. Remember how I told you I went across the street?
Oh, yeah.
To that subdivision with 1,000 houses, and I asked, and I finally figured out it was BlackRock and one of their subsidiaries.
Yep.
Owned the internet. They bought it. You couldn't even buy a house in there.
No. I remember that because I was looking at buying one of there to buy as a rental property.
They had a model home there,
yep.
And I went in there, and it was never open. The whole subdivision had already been sold out. Now, here's how they do it, how BlackRock prices Americans out of new homes. This goes right back to 2008. What appears to many people to be BlackRock and private equity firm housing scam is exposed. They are buying up entire new housing developments, sometimes 1,000 homes of new construction at a time. They buy the houses for a set fee of $300,000 per house.
Yep.
So the builders are ecstatic.
The developer and the builders love it because you already have a guaranteed contract before the first house is even built.
Yeah. Now, they don't sell them all right away. They keep the area looking like a construction zone for 1 year because it takes that long to build them.
Yeah, it does.
They go up so fast. Let's say there's three different model homes in a community they bought. Then a year later, they sell three of those houses that they bought for $300,000 to themselves in another fund for $700,000 each.
Really?
Did you hear what I just said?
Yes.
So they have, remember, BlackRock, State Street, and Vanguard have circular ownership. So I'm not saying that they're selling it to State Street or Vanguard or whoever they're selling it to, but they sell it to another fund that they manage for $700,000 each, okay? That means you have now three comps in that neighborhood saying that these houses are worth $700,000. So now the value of these homes they had bought for $300,000, the 1,000 homes they bought, has gone up to $700,000,
yeah,
okay?
On paper.
Okay. So they do this with each one of these house models. Now the entire neighborhood, each house is valued at $700,000 because of comps. Then they go to turn them into obscene rentals, and simultaneously they're going to have 2.5 times value on the portfolio to borrow against. This is exactly what they did in 2008.
Wow.
And then they take that money and they reinvest.
They bloat the balance sheet.
every American in that community is just priced out of everything around that community. In other words, everybody in the whole neighborhood says, oh my gosh, the rent just went from, the mortgage payment went from $1,500 to $4,000.
Yeah, for the same exact house.
For the same amount of house. And all of a sudden the rent goes from, you know, from $1,500 to $3,000 because they priced the price higher and they had bogus appraisals come in and they sold those homes for $700,000 each.
And all they're doing is moving dots and dashes and digits.
No, and
BlackRock has like 12, 13 trillion under management.
Right. But here's the problem with all of that stuff. This is the same crap they did with derivatives.
Yep.
To a much greater degree when they had these derivatives valued at ridiculous amounts of money and all of these homes because they were selling them as a block of
investment.
They were
in a bundle. They were putting all the crap mortgages with the good mortgages and found out there were no good mortgages. They were all bad mortgages.
No, and that's what happened in 2008. So they found another way to do something similar to that now running the prices of the houses up through appraisals and selling these homes for $700,000. So now instead of selling the new homes that haven't been built yet or the ones that are under construction for $300,000, they're getting $700,000 for all of them. And they've already been pre-sold to the contractor. So the contractor doesn't get any more money.
No.
You know, the guys who build them get the same amount of money.
Right.
It's the people and the bankers who do absolute none of the work. And I remember Smedley Butler was talking about this, and he goes, he got two Congressional Medals of Honor, by the way. He was talking about the building of the Panama Canal. He says the guys that have made the money on the building of the Panama Canal never lifted a shovel, never ran a piece of heavy equipment. He said the international banking community, he said it's all a scam. He said the same thing with the military industrial complex. It's all a scam. And he's right. It was all a scam, and it still is the same scam. It's crazy, Austin. Now, but I saw this article, and I thought, well, that makes sense. That's how they get these housing prices through the roof.
Yep.
They get to sell them for more money, borrow more money, and then the people go in and finance them for $700,000, thinking, here's the crazy part, thinking, my house is worth $700,000.
It's going to go up. It's going to go up even more.
It ain't going up, friend.
Well, remember, that's what happened. You had all these people that were following that. They were moving to Florida going, oh, my gosh, Florida's on a housing boom. The houses went up from 300 to 500 to 700. I'm just going to start putting bids in. And people were coming down paying $100,000 over asking price with never even seeing the house or getting an inspection on it. I heard that all the time from the realtors.
And now the entire housing market in Florida has collapsed. Almost every realtor that I know is, from a financial standpoint, is starving to death.
Yeah.
It's crazy. But, no, this is the same thing the bankers always do, Austin.
They did.
What do you think the doggone Federal Reserve has done with our value of our dollar going down by 97% in the last 100 years? It's always the Ponzi scheme. It's the love. Jesus said it this way. It's the love of money that is the root of all evil. Instead of just saying, let's make something that's going to be really a good product, let's give people value for their money.
A house. You know, it's housing. Yeah, you know, it's Maslow's three. I mean, you got water, food, housing.
Well, no, let's say the house is $120,000 cost to build. Let's go ahead and sell it for $150,000. Let's make $30,000. Let's give them a really good value on the house. Yeah. Let's give them a chance to make
build
a little
equity.
Bit of money, to build equity in it, and we can make our money. And we'll just make it grow a little slower. They don't want to do that. It's the greed. The love of money is the root of all evil, is what Jesus said. And also said it the other day. He did a good job with this, by the way.
He said that
Jesus went in and actually built a whip.
Braided a whip.
I mean, he was.
Which means it was very much premeditated.
Now you think about this. This is God. God's braiding a whip. The God who built the earth, rebuilt it, Adam and Eve, Jesus Christ, who through all things are held together, picks up a doggone bunch of wet leather braids, puts a whip together, and goes to the money changers, goes, yeah, watch this, and starts beating them and flipping their tables over. He never did this one other time.
No.
Not once in the New Testament did he ever do something like this. Beats them and runs them out and says, you've taken my house and you've turned it into a den of thieves.
You got to remember, too, when it talks about he hit the tables, he flipped, that means he scattered all the coinage.
That's right.
Everything. Everything got mixed up.
Well, remember,
up.
A week later, he ends up, they end up, the same group had him crucified because they were under the control of Lucifer. Because he straight calls them out later in the book of John and says, by the way, your father's Lucifer. He's a father of lies, and basically he's your daddy. Oh, no, we're the children of Abraham. No, we're not. You're not.
So he goes, you may be the sons of Abraham, but your father is the devil, meaning this may be your bloodline you're claiming, but you are not the children of God Almighty.
No. And that's the same group that's doing this right now. now with the housing. It's the same group that's doing it with the military-industrial complex. It's the same group that's doing it with pharmakia. It's the same group that's causing all of the autism, because they don't see you and me as humans. They see us as cattle. And when you understand that, they don't care if they kill your child or give him autism, because if they give your child autism, 1 in 12.5 little boys, then they keep that child in the medical-industrial complex until he dies 50, 60, 70 years later, and they get more money from that because they control all aspects of this. These people are sickening to me.
I'm going to calm it down for a second. So I know everybody's thinking right now, well, what can I do to change things differently and not fall along those lines? As I've said many a times, try to stay out of supporting those aspects as much as you can. Don't go in and go give your children that many shots. If that's your choice, I recommend not against it. I don't personally do it. Don't put those foods in your body. Don't play the games with the banking cartel if you have the ability to do so. Try to be independent on a lot of stuff and try not to support them financially. And don't support companies that are woke DEI that are continually trying to tell you what you need to accept. But a little bit of, you know, change of scenery on it. Cracker Barrel returns to its old logo after getting, eviscerated on social media. And I don't even know what their share price dropped down to now. I mean, it went a free-for-all, I think, on last Tuesday.
Yeah.
When they announced that last week, I mean, it was a waterfall. They had a blood waterfall in one day. And they're not changing the signage now. Now, has it been blatantly clear whether or not they're going to do the full reconstruction on the inside yet?
Well, you got to remember, the DEI, it's the same group that their god is a transgender god named Einsof.
And they
want everything to be DEI woke.
Well, they want everything. If you notice, they don't want anything to be individualistic with individual pride. They want it to all be very bland and sterile. That's why this new architecture that they do
it's
now.
It's all the same.
It's all the same. And it's boring as crap. Everything's white, black. That's it. They're putting it on the inside. It looks like a hillbilly that won the lottery is doing Denny's inside Cracker Barrel. Everything's white this and bland seating and bland tables and a poster board on the wall with rolling pins on. What is that? What is that? It's because they want everything to have no identity. Why do you think all the vehicles, majority of the vehicles now, they're getting made all look the same? You notice that now? Mm-hmm. Between Tesla and Honda and, you know, all of them. Dude, look at them. All the SUVs look bland. Go back to the 50s and 60s and look at Cadillac Chevrolet. I mean, the cars were almost ridiculous how much design they put into them. They were just wild looking. And now it's like everything looks like a vanilla blend of each.
You go into cities now, and these new cities that are being developed.
Look at them.
All the housing areas,
yep.
all of the shopping areas,
everything
looks the same.
It's because they don't want anyone to have a unique identity.
Freedom of expression.
Proud of. Mm-hmm. They don't want you to be proud of anything that you own. It all is the same thing your neighbor has, that the next neighborhood has, that the next town has, that the next state has. Everything is vanilla and plain because that's the way nobody has any pride. Nobody cares about it. Then you're like, well, I don't care about having a new vehicle or a paid-for vehicle or a nice house because, quite frankly, everything I buy, everything I do, everything I look at looks exactly the same as every city and every town.
Well, Klaus Schwab said by 2030 you'll own nothing and you'll be happy. And you just look at modern art, how disgusting it is. I'm going to throw some mud on the wall. Oh, my God, it's worth $1 million.
Dude,
what the heck's wrong with you?
I was in downtown Orlando over the weekend, and this giant parking garage, my buddy I was with, he was laughing at me. He goes, the architectural part of Orlando is like hideous. They took these big giant pieces of white cut up sheet metal, painted them white, and bolted them to the side of the parking garage. It literally looks like stuck pieces of like cut paper. And I looked at it and I said, you know what I have a real problem with that nobody wants to think about? Those are gigantic pieces of sheet metal. They're cutting angles that are complete points and edges. I want to see what happens those the first time we have a Cat 5 hurricane come to Orlando, and those things come unbolted, start flying through the city with 20-foot-long pieces of sheet metal that are jagged. Nobody bothered to think about that but me. And he goes, dude, you're right. He goes, they're literally just held up there with like this bolt system. Yeah.
Well, giant size of kites. And that's one of the things that Germany did in World War II. They got rid of all the modern art stuff because he said they come into what they do it psychologically to subvert you, to make you something. Remember, we're creating God's image. We have the ability.
They don't want that identity.
Yeah, it's identity.
They don't want anybody to have identity, no national pride, no pride in what you own, no pride in where you live. Every city you go to is the exact same vanilla city. Have you noticed that now? Dallas, Orlando, Tampa, every single city you go to, they all are starting to look the same. They look the same. There's nothing to them.
It's being done on purpose.
It's being done on purpose.
Because, again, they don't want you to realize that you're made in the image of God, that you have creative ability.
Yep.
They want you to accept everything they tell you.
No, exactly right. No creative ability. That's what they do at Cracker Barrel. Now it's getting flipped back. Hopefully everybody continues to eviscerate them until they don't change the interior. But at the same time, my friends, take care of your health. Continue to stay strong and healthy. You need anything? Collagen peptides. I'm going to do a huge sale on those for product of the week. You guys have been asking for it. I want everybody to have the ability to try this stuff. Get your joints. Keep everything in really good shape. Appreciate y'all. Team Health Masters, be sure to check it out. I love you guys. Hope you have a fantastic evening. We'll talk to you on this show tomorrow, as always.
I appreciate you. Thanks so much for your support. And kind of a crazy show today,
yeah.
But you know what? We got a lot of information out to you, and I appreciate your support.
And
I appreciate your prayers.
You guys need those.
Now you're throwing purple sticks.
Well, I took a bunch of them now.
Love you guys.